That's a good song. What a day that will be. Amen. There'll be no sorrow there, no more parting over there. All is peace and joy forevermore. That's a blessing. If you have a Bible, Sunday school, you can be dismissed. If you'd like to go to your classes. And boy, there's enough food out there to have a potluck this Sunday. And it's a lot of sweet stuff. So don't anybody leave the service. Amen. Good. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. You ever thought about what's next? Heaven's next, but what about after that? You know, I mean, death is a real, some people would call it an enemy, but it's a real friend. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die. But after this, so there's a door that we go through. If you don't turn there, but Genesis chapter 5, this is before the flood. People lived a long time, 500, 600, 700, 800 years. Can you imagine living 800 years? And boy, if you were playing the piano, you'd be an awful good piano player after 800 years. You know, you'd know a lot. But in Genesis chapter 5. It names these people that lived so long, and it says, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. And we know that's going to happen for us. We know that's where we're going. But we prepare for that by accepting Christ as our Savior. But still, there's thoughts we have about it. Amen? Sometimes we're afraid. And I want to deal with that today. I had this message already, and my friend passed away. And I got to thinking about it a little bit more, but I think it's exactly the message that God would want. Hebrews chapter 2, if you're there, read along with me, beginning in verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he, Jesus, might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. There is a real bondage of that fear. It affects everything in our life. There in Psalm 23, the Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Oh, to know the comfort of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, because we're all going to face this. Amen? And it creates such bondage, it's such a prison. And let's pray and ask God to bless His Word today. Father, thank you for the Scriptures, thank you for the truth and the promises. And I pray, Lord, that you would minister to us today. I pray that you would encourage us and comfort us for your honor and for your glory. May we see the glory of salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. Fear of death. Fear has a crippling effect. It really can shut us down. It can get us to think the wrong things. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. I'm sure you have to some degree. It can imprison your emotions. It can imprison your thoughts. That's all you think about sometimes. My wife and I have just gone through something recently with the virus. And you get to thinking about all of this. You know, you think about, well, what's tomorrow going to be like? And it can affect our actions. Fear is a real crippling thing. And so God deals with it. He calls it bondage. He calls it a prison. He says in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. So some people are tormented by their fears. And they can't get those fears out of their mind. They just chew on it, chew on it, chew on it. It's like a bitter pill. And I guess they get that illustration. If you take a pill and swallow it and it's bitter, you're done with it. But if you chew it and chew it and chew it, you have that taste in your mouth. Could be all day, you know. And death is, the fear of death is that bitter pill. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, well, let me just say this. There is a real fear of COVID. There is a real fear of that virus. We read about it. We hear about it. I talk to people about it. And there is a fear of that. Why? Because it could cause death. It's not just a cold. It's not just some minor thing or some allergy. It's something that takes young people, older people alike. And you never know how it's going to affect somebody. You don't know what the after effects are going to be. There's a fear of COVID. There is today a fear of the economy. Don't watch the news. Don't watch the news. I watch the news, so I'm not taking my own advice. But you see something on the news or read something or hear something and you go, man, what's next, you know? So you go out and you buy a bunch of paper towels and tissue paper and leave all the food there because, you know, there are certain necessities. But anyway, there's a fear in the economy, isn't there? There is a fear of a church service being too long. I mean, that's a big fear, isn't it? That cripples people. That's real bondage to have a fear like that. So half of you were listening. There's also a fear of death, right? And before the economy, before the virus, before the long church service, he's going to kill me, right? But there was a fear of death. And it just depends on our circumstances in life, who we talk to or with, and what our physical condition is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things that God hath prepared for them. But the Spirit hath revealed them unto us. So we don't see it with the physical eye, but the Spirit reveals those things in the Word of God. We have the Bible, amen? And it talks about death. It's not the elephant in the living room, amen? It's something that is addressed. It's something that is faced. Because it's appointed unto men once to die. We're all going to face this. Amen? Some sooner, some later, but we're all going to face this. But God in the scriptures tells us about how he's prepared for us. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, doubtless I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, that's a familiar verse. But if you were on your deathbed, that would mean a whole lot. Amen? That would mean a whole lot because you're going to be where he is. He's prepared a place for us. If we could see heaven, nobody would fear death. If we could see it, amen? But we can't see it. And it's the great unknown. Oh, well, we learn about it. We read about it. And the Spirit of God witnesses in our heart that we have a home in heaven, but we've not experienced it yet, right? If we could see heaven, there would absolutely be no fear of death. But death is the door that leads us to that place. I think I've used the illustration one time. There was a man, and he was out in the winter in the forest, and he was going to cross a small lake. And it was very, very cold, and he started out, and you know, the ice is harder close to shore, but as he got closer to the middle of the lake, he began to get afraid, and he was hearing, is that the ice cracking? And so, rather than walk and put the weight on two places, he got down on all fours, and he was crawling across that ice and just praying that he would make it to the other side. He was very afraid. And it wasn't long after he started doing that that he heard a noise behind him. And here comes two horses pulling a sled full of wood, cut wood, and just passes him and goes right on through. Guess what? He got up and started walking again. Amen? The ice is going to hold me. And so many times, I don't know, have you ever been afraid of the dark? Are you still afraid of the dark? Nobody's going to admit to that. But when it's dark, for children, there's a fear. And praise the Lord, they're all in Sunday school now. But I mean, who's in the closet? Who's under the bed? It depends on how many movies you watch, right? I mean, there's movies that'll scare you to death. But I mean, when it's dark, oh man, I am afraid of the dark. When you turn the light on and there's nothing to fear. There's nobody there. There's no harm, right? And so sometimes we just don't understand. We just can't see it. When we were younger, I don't know if I do this today, at least not with anybody here, but they said, you stand there and you fall back and I'll catch you. Don't worry, I'll catch you. It's kind of like, isn't it, in Snoopy and Peanuts? You know, here, Lucy says, kick the ball. I won't pull it out this time. But have you ever done that? Anybody ever do that? Okay, one, two, three, four. That's it? Gino, come on up here. We'll catch you honest. No problem. But you'd really have to trust that person, wouldn't you? I mean, look, I promise I'll catch you. You'd have to have some kind of trust in their word. And so that's where we come to. We've not experienced this. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling, the Bible says about our Savior. And that's his promise. Amen? And we trust him. Here are two really important verses. Psalm 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in him. And then Isaiah 12:2. I will trust and not be afraid. The opposite of fear is trust. The opposite of fear is faith. And so God tells us, he gives us some instruction. And we're not going to stop there because I want to give you some real comfort of the scriptures. When I was in the hospital, and I haven't talked about this a whole lot, but I had a real hard time breathing. They had me on oxygen. They asked me when I went to emergency, would you want to be intubated? Is that the word? Is that what they say? They said, would you want to be intubated if this gets worse? And I didn't even know what they were talking about. And I said, well, ask my wife. And she said, yeah, intubate them, you know. No. She said, well, no. And I said, no. And so we said that. But I'm up in my room and I'm thinking, okay, what is all this about? Because it was very difficult to breathe. And I thought about that. I thought, am I going to die? Have you ever thought that? That's the first time in my life I've ever thought that. I wrecked a bunch of motorcycles. Randy and I were talking about that. You know, but as a young man, it's like you're indestructible. And I've never been that sick before. But at that time, and I could feel the fear. I could feel it. It was right there. It was in the room. I was in the room by myself, and I felt that fear. You ever felt that? I mean, if you've ever felt that, you know what I'm speaking of, and maybe you haven't, maybe you will in the future, but what I did was I started quoting Scripture, and I started quoting the promises of God, and I tell you, it took the fear away. And when it started to come back again, I would just quote the Scriptures. And I was thanking the Lord because I've always prayed that I wouldn't outlive my love for him, that I would go out clean, that I would go out faithful. And he was bringing all these things to my mind. And then I was seeing loved ones that I know are already there. And so I'm laying there, and I'm just thinking, well, this isn't so bad, you know? I'll get into some other things in a minute because I don't want that to be the sermon. But I had the fear, but the promises of God are precious. And sometimes we don't need that promise today. But one day we will need that promise. And it's a blessing to know it. Psalm 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. We're going to be speaking about that in Sunday school. Of whom shall I be afraid? He has conquered death. And he said, because I live, ye shall live also. But the fear of the unknown. Sometimes we get a head knowledge, but it's not a practical knowledge. Sometimes we lean on our knowledge, and we lean on what's going on, the circumstances of our life, but there's a time when all that changes, and we need to lean on the Lord because the fear of the unknown is real. And then our imagination starts to go. Well, I know what heaven's going to be like because I read a book about it. Well, I hope it's this book. Amen? Well, I saw a movie about it. I saw a movie about what heaven is like, and there's so much there. I don't know if you've ever watched any of the old, what was his name? Not Lancaster, but the old Bible movies, you know, the crossing of the Red Sea and all that stuff. And you watch some of that, and if you know the Bible, you go, that's not in the Bible. You know, that's the Hollywood version. So you have to be careful about all of these things. Imagination means this. And sometimes your imagination can run wild. Imagination is the power or faculty of the mind by which it conceives and forms ideas. Have you ever heard of catastrophic thinking? Catastrophic thinking. Here's a situation, and the negative thinker makes that the worst possible thing. The boss, this is a minor one, but the boss calls you in the office and you go, well, that's it. I'm done. And now I won't be able to pay the rent. My wife's going to be disappointed in me. And you go in and he says, you know, you've been such a good worker, I want to give you a raise. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. And some people say, well, it's better to think the negative and be surprised by the positive than to think positive and be surprised by the negative. That's a terrible way to live. A terrible, terrible way to live. But catastrophic thinking. Jacob said, all these things are against me. Remember the story? We won't tell the whole story, but he said, all these things are against me, because he looked at his circumstances and he imagined what was going to happen. He's going to lose another son. Elijah, I only am left. I'm the only one out of the whole world. I'm the only one left. He was such a great prophet. And he asked God to take his life. He was looking at the circumstances. The disciples, they're on the Sea of Galilee, and in the midst of a storm, Jesus is asleep in the lower part of the ship. And they woke him up and they said, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care? Because they looked at the circumstances. And of course, Jesus came up and he said, peace be still. Amen? Why couldn't it have been, hey, we can trust him. There's no problem. This storm is nothing to our Savior. What a blessing that is. There's lots of examples, and people imagine all kinds of things, and certainly about death. And they imagine what's on the other side of death. What's next? Okay, if I die, if I close my eyes in death, what is next? Even here, we'd get a bunch of different answers. Certainly, if we went out on the street and asked people, what's going to happen after you die? There'd be a lot of different answers. I think it's a good thing to know what God says. Amen? Because that's where our peace comes from. Because there's no fear in that. Imagine with me what the reincarnationalist, is that a word? Somebody who believes in reincarnation. Imagine what they think about death. I mean, I've read some things about that. We taught a class in our Bible Institute on the cults. And we took different cults and different religions, and we showed what they taught, which was contrary to the scriptures. But the reincarnationalist, if that's a word, thinks when he dies, he's going to come back as something else. And okay, well, how do you figure that out? What would you imagine? Well, on a bad day, well, let's take a good day. On a good day, I'd come back as fill in the blank, something really good. Amen? Somebody who worked at an ice cream store and got to eat all the ice cream they wanted. Okay, that'd be a good thing to come back as. But if it's a bad day, you might be coming back as a rat, you know? And then you'd start being kind to rats. Or you might say, well, my ancestors came back as cows. They don't kill cows in India. I'd come back as a cow. I don't want to come back as a cow. I don't know how that would be comforting at all. But sometimes, come on, Gino, come on up here. Fall back. I'll catch you. Imagine with me what an atheist thinks is coming. He thinks that when life is over, that's it. And he's surprised. There was one atheist, I forget his name, but somebody said to him, hold on to what you believe. And he says, I've got nothing to hold to. Because at that time, see, what does the imagination tell us? What about Christians? What about us today? What do you imagine? And just think in your mind, what's going to happen when you die? We're Bible believers. Death is something we have not experienced before. It's something that's unknown to us. Well, I read this book or I watched this movie. No, those things are not going to comfort you. It has to be what you've gotten from God out of the scriptures on your own. It's not what somebody else tells you. It's what you've put in your heart, what you've memorized, what you believe, because that's the only thing that's going to give you peace. Well, I believe what my pastor says or my preachers, that's not going to help you. You have to have a salvation that is yours, and you have to have a belief about where you're going to spend eternity that has to be yours. What will it be like? What will our perception be? Remember, it's fear or it's faith. Very few people want to die. I'm one of those. I want to go in the rapture. And that's a great teaching too, where, I mean, the Lord's coming back and that's how we go. But that might not happen. I don't want the pain. I want to be in heaven, but I don't want the pain of getting there. Amen? If I could just say, okay, and that would be it. Did you hear that? I can't snap my fingers the normal way. But in heaven, I'll be able to do that, right? But I don't want pain. I don't want to hurt my loved ones. I don't want to leave my loved ones. But I really want to be in heaven, but I don't want the pain to get there, maybe. But there are promises in the Bible, and real quickly, I want to show some of those to you. 2 Corinthians 10:5. God tells us that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So when we fight the evil one, when we fight the devil, when we fight the flesh and the world, we fight it a certain way, not with the weapons of our warfare. So he goes on, he says, casting down imaginations and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So we take our imagination about life, about death, about eternity, about heaven, about hell, whatever it is, and we say, well, this is what I think. We need to go to the Scripture and find out what the Scripture says. Now, if you're a Christian, you've accepted Christ as your Savior. But what's going to happen when we face death? What is on the other side of that? Casting down imaginations and every thought. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Okay, he wrote something that we might know. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. John 14:3, he said, where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus made that promise. 1 Peter 1:4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's a promise from God. Take your Bible and go to 2 Corinthians. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's always good to read when you're hearing the Word of God read. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look with me at verse 1. I'll wait. That's just a little bit back from Hebrews. 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, that's this body, were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, that new body. So this old body, we want the new body. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Is that the truth? I mean, life is tough, life is difficult. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. God's going to give us a new body. We'll read that. Look back two pages. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The whole chapter is good, but look with me at verse 53 and 54. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. Praise God for that. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So Christ's death defeated death. And we're no longer in bondage. Amen? We're no longer in that prison. We are free. And one day we're going to have a new body. That's going to be a blessing. And I don't know what you've read, but absent from the body, present with the Lord. In the twinkling of an eye, right? It's not, and you probably read this, it's not a long tunnel. And there's a light. It's not a long tunnel. The long tunnel is this life. The long tunnel isn't you die and then, oh, I'm in a tunnel. And there's a light. No. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. As soon as that happens, that's where we are. Amen? Amen? I mean, that's our assurance. Listen to these verses. Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Those are all good verses. Precious, gain, comfort, joy, pleasures. That describes what's next. Amen? That's what's going to be there for us. And then in Luke 23, when the thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom, Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in, oh, what's that word? Paradise, that's it. So you add paradise to pleasure and joy and comfort and gain. Amen? And that's what heaven is going to be like. But it's unknown to us physically. We've never experienced it. We've watched other people go through it. I've sat by the bedside of hundreds of people, literally, that have passed on and went home to be with the Lord or didn't go home to be with the Lord. I've seen all kinds of responses. But it's true that one day for the believer, we will experience this great glory. And here's the icing on the cake. Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Why? Because death is swallowed up in victory. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. No more death. That's what's going to take place. Is that hard to comprehend? Yes. Is it hard to comprehend that we're going to be eternal and that we're never going to have a bad thought, never going to have a heartache? That's hard to imagine, but it's the promise of God. And so if we imagine it's something less than that, the fear is going to come. But if we believe and we are confident in what God is saying and we trust him, that does away with the fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. There's a song that's been sung a number of times in churches, but it's entitled Finally Home. You might have heard it. Here's the two verses. When engulfed by the terror of the tempestuous sea, unknown waves before you roll, speaking of death. At the end of doubt and peril is eternity, though fear and conflict seize your soul. When surrounded by the blackness of the darkest night, oh, how lonely death can be. At the end of this long journey is a shining light, for death is swallowed up in victory. And the chorus says, but just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God's, of breathing new air and finding it celestial, of waking up in glory and finding it home. Just think of that. That is what's going to take place for the believer one day. We're all headed there, unless the rapture takes place. And that's probably why we pray so much for the rapture, you know. That's how I'd like to go, hear a trumpet, be with the Lord, amen. I've had a lot of loved ones pass away, and I know where they're at. It's important to reach your loved ones with the gospel, amen. Eternal life, everlasting life. That's what's next for the believer. We're going to have a new body, like unto his glorious body. Boy, I wish I could take the time on that one. Man, we're going to have a new body like unto his glorious body. We're going to have a new mind, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's what he tells us now. But how do we do that? We attempt it, amen, and we try to think like him. But that day we shall know even as we're known. They say you use 3% of your brain. I think I'm on about 1.5%. But can you imagine? Can you imagine what it's going to be like not to think a bad thought? Not to be suspicious? Not to be critical? Not to be any sin you want to put in there? It's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful experience. New body, new mind. A wonderful reunion. I've got a picture of my brother. It was my older brother. He's with the Lord now. I've got it on my desk at home, and I look at it from time to time. My dad got saved 5 days before he died. My mother got saved 5 years before she died. I was the first one in my family saved, and they all got saved. I've got a stepbrother lives in Sturgis. He got saved. I mean, you just go on and you think about the ones that are already gone and the ones that haven't gone yet, but you're not worried about them because you know where they're going to be. And sometimes the older you get, you don't have any friends anymore. All your friends are up there, you know. You don't have any family anymore. All your family's up there. Well, we want to be your friend, and we want to be your family. Amen? And I've been trying to get Richard's son to adopt me. I look who's got some money, and I say, why don't you adopt me, you know? But it's family, is it not? We pray one for another. But one day, my voice will be silent. I mean, you might be able to get a CD, but I won't be here. But you know where I'll be. Amen? And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that is where you will be. This is so amazing. Eternal joy. No fear. No fear. And when you come to the place, I say this, it's kind of joking, but there is a portion of it that's true. Don't go to the internet and see what's wrong with you. You go to the internet, oh, these are my symptoms. And the internet's going to put you in the grave or sell you something. You know, and maybe some of that's true, you know, but you have to be careful about some of that. And when you find that you're becoming so fearful, and it just doesn't have to do with death, it has to do with anything. Fear is a crippler. Fear will just harm your life and your spirit. Amen? He that hath the Son hath life. If that's the only verse you know, if you have Jesus, you're going to be with him forever. He that hath the Son hath life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, Lord, I called on you. He says, you're saved. Amen? Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus. Because I live, ye shall live also. All of these verses, memorize them. Have them in your heart. Know where they are in the scripture. Read them in context. Because one day you're going to need them. And there's no sense having all of this fear as we go up to that day. It's all in God's hands. There's a verse in Psalms that says, my times are in his hands. And there's another verse in the Psalms. There's a lot of verses in the Psalms. But one says, man's life will be 70. And if by reason of strength, it's 80. So 70, 80. Nobody here is over, what, 60? I hope I didn't offend anybody. 50? But I mean, as we get older, and it really has no bearing. I mean, there's a lot of younger people that go home to be with the Lord. But where are you going to spend eternity? It's appointed unto men once to die. Yeah, I know that. But after this, what's next? And you can live in fear of that. Now, we don't want it. We want to be with our loved ones, etc., etc. We don't want pain. But there's no fear once you close your eyes in death. You'll open them in heaven. Amen? Let's bow our heads, please. If you're here today and you're just not sure that you're saved, you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, boy, that's an important decision to make. to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to believe that he died on a cross for your sins, to believe that without him you can't go to heaven, but by asking him to be your Savior and meaning it in your heart, that gives you eternal life. Put faith in Christ today. Ask him to forgive you of your sin and take you to heaven. And if you've already asked that, if you've already done that, ask God to help you trust him. Ask God to increase your faith. Memorize the Bible, because that's where your peace will come from. Father, thank you so much for the precious word of God. May every heart here be comforted, be strengthened, be enlightened because of the truth of your promise. In Jesus' name, amen.